If it's not mainstream, it's bbsradio.com.
Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and New Realities is dedicated to exploring evolving human potentials in an evolving world. This series explores the idea of how to become more conscious beings. I present programs that invite the listener to look at their automatic behaviors and take free rein of their body, mind, and spirit so that we can hope to inhabit a greater and better world. This program is constantly on the lookout for new and different perspectives in achieving a greater, more peaceful reality for the planet. It's about embracing a synthesis of rational understanding with mystical awareness. That is from my website, newrealities.tv. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and each week I do a program here on bbsradio.com that I find inspiring. I look for people that are giving us the next piece in our understanding of evolution. And I've done a bunch of programs in the last few weeks about higher intelligences, more conscious sexuality, evolving mind potential. And this week I have a very interesting and exciting guest who is really taking us to the next level of our conscious evolutionary understanding of who we are as spiritual beings. Her name is Doreen Bray, and I've just met her recently, but she is an inspiration in understanding where she comes from as far as tapping in and making the higher dimensions really tangible in a way. So, Doreen, are you there?
Yes, good evening, Alan.
Was that a good introduction? How would you introduce yourself?
I think you said it all.
Okay.
Thank you.
But, what I am interested in about your work is how you've been given a gift since you were a child, in a sense, to evolve, to help open up people to a greater understanding of reality. And you've had to work through a lot of your own lessons in order to bring people to that next level. But is it always necessary that we work through those difficulties in order to have this next level available? Do you know what I'm asking you?
Mm-hmm. I have found through my own practice and working with people since I was young that people seem to need to go through a cocoon stage where they sit with and move through all of their horrors, their pain, their suffering, and come to a place of peace. And once that has happened, it's like we crack open a shell and move into a higher form of expression. Mm-hmm. But even that higher form of expression may be another realm to explore, and then we burst through that. So I believe it's like a flower that constantly opens its petals to expose more and more and more of oneself.
But that painful part is, that seems like it's a necessary propellant along the way? Or is it just for the really stubborn and difficult, or are we all that? Are we all basically in the same process? Or
I don't think we're in the same process.
Uh-huh.
I think that each person has their own things to deal with depending on what karma you came in with, depending on what you've done in your past lives, who you've evolved into, what level you're at. So your challenges will be different than your neighbor's challenges. But also, the choices you make may assist you to evolve faster than maybe your neighbor because of his choices.
Right. I mean, my question always comes down to, are there right choices? Are there choices that make, there seems to be choices that make the path or the way more joyful. And the kind of old question is, if you don't take, I would say, the right choices, things become more difficult until we finally see that, it's like the alcoholic having to hit bottom before they're willing to acknowledge they're an alcoholic. I mean, in a sense, we're all alcoholics that are just stubbornly attached to our old ego ways of doing things.
Correct. And so what you're asking is if we really need to go through all the pain and suffering to...
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
I don't think so. I don't think so, but the thing is, for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, that's what the species have believed. And so we live out the belief system of our parents, of our grandparents, of our great-grandparents, and we follow in those steps, even though we want to break through it. So a lot of the ways that we look at reality and view our own reality is through their paradigm, not our own.
Mm. So we're moving... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
once we
grasp that we are free from all of that old belief system, that all of the bondage is only our own, we can just step into the next higher frequency. Mm-hmm. It's all about our own personal acceptance of self and others.
And I also think it's a way of learning from other people's experiences.
Totally. You may need to.
And I think that's the benefit of film being such a spiritual art. I mean, we can be practically in someone's head experiencing their life and their pain and their love and their loss and their suffering. And we actually feel it, but we don't actually have to experience it. And we can make a huge amount of our own spiritual evolutions just by going to a good movie,
You're right. And you're right, because the cells in your body believe that you are truly experiencing it. The cells believe it because you are confirming it within yourself. As you're viewing it, you are feeling all the sensations that those people are going through.
Right.
So the cells make the chemistry, and they create the background for your healing to take place in.
It's amazing. And there's also these things called mirror neurons. Have you heard about mirror neurons?
Not yet.
Oh, you should hear about them, because they're actually mechanisms in our brain that match other people's feelings. So if I look at you, you look feeling sad, there's going to be a trigger mirror neuron that will make me feel how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
This is a neurological fact. It's called, it's an amazing discovery, and it explains so much of who we are as humans. Actually, chimpanzees, they actually originally discovered in the primates that they had mirror neurons.
That's fascinating, because we've always known that the mirror world exists. Whatever you see is what you truly are. It's presented to you in that way. So it's lovely that science is now step by step with what we've always believed to be true.
Right. So the next question then is, if we then can watch a good movie, or even other people in our lives that have gone through certain things, and we've then learned those lessons on a soul level, would you say? Because, I mean, my understanding and what I've been taught about spiritual truths and philosophy is that we are here to experience all things in the human dimension. We're here to feel all feelings and experience the human realm in its totality. That's the only way we ever actually transcend it, is by feeling it. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. Yes.
So the idea of this amazing acceleration that's happening is to feel as much and embrace the feelings and own those feelings, and then they become wisdom once they're owned, once they're
that's
felt.
Right. Once you identify it within yourself and ask yourself, why am I feeling this? What does it relate to? How can what I'm feeling transform me? How can it empower me? Those questions
but not only
answered
that, right,
become
but not only,
your next step. Sorry.
Right. But no, what I was going to say is not only just asking those questions, but just allowing the feelings to resonate in you as deep as they can go in a cellular vibration shifts you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, and they do. But still, the basis behind it is the mind, and the mind needs to move into agreement with what the cells are experiencing.
Well, I think, though, once the cells feel that, and they're allowed to feel it on the depth of their soul, then they own that experience, and then you never have to have that experience again. Once you get that,
I agree.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. I agree, as long as you choose to not experience again. What happens with a lot of people is that they believe that they will experience it differently, even though they may go through the same thing. It's the challenge. So it's like the child whose father says, don't do that. I know it'll happen. Please don't do it. And the child says, well, that happened to you. It won't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Well, then that becomes an addiction of the human behavior, to think that if you're going to not experience the same feeling, but you do, we then end up addicted to our, as some people say, the chemical reactions that happen due to emotion. This is the Candace-Pert model, the molecules of emotion. We end up then thinking we're going to maybe have a different experience, but we're really indulging those feelings that keep us stuck in the addictive pattern. So then how do you suggest to get out of that pattern altogether? If you're doing something, how do you even recognize that you're doing, it's like, how does a fish know it's in water? That's how deep our habitual patterns are.
Mm-hmm. If something you're doing causes pain or suffering to yourself or others, we must wake up to understand that pain and suffering doesn't need to be part of our experience, and we can transcend that.
Mm. Okay,
so we need to look at, why am I in pain? Why am I creating pain in others?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay, that's already a sort of a more evolved consciousness than someone who just maybe would go around causing pain, not willingly or, you know, being self-destructive, but, you know, there's the level below that where mm-hmm. people don't even realize that their actions are affecting themselves and others, you know.
That's right, because they're in pain, they create pain in others.
Right. So how do you talk to that person? How do they start to resonate, or how does one in, a healing position allow that reflection to be seen so that person can then start to have an awareness? I mean, I guess I'm talking about the base level of healing in a sense. How does you as a healer bring a level of awareness to people who are totally unaware?
The first place we have to start is by bringing peace into the person. Only by first feeling peace can we then see what else there is. If I've never been in peace, I can't recognize anger or pain because, like the fish in the water, I'm it.
Right.
But if we can move into something much deeper, which is a much higher frequency also, then we are able, like the eagle, to look over our life from a new perspective. Then we can change, because once you see it, then you have the power to change it. If you can't see it, you can't change it.
So once you get, or you help people get a little bit of this break or distance from the pain of their lives, sort of, just to have a glimpse that something else is possible, and then they go back into that feeling, and then they realize that they're feeling it.
Right, and then they say, that's not what I want. Then they
what?
Can then they can discern.
Right, right. Well, that's a big... Okay, and then there's levels and levels and levels of
course.
Of
I do
that.
Believe that peace is one of the most important elements to bring in, whether it be through meditation, chanting, dancing, something that brings the person passion can bring them into peace.
Right, but they... I think you've said it, but I'm just saying if they don't even know what that, if they're so much in denial and pain and addiction, how do they even have that moment of peace to realize that there is peace?
Mm-hmm.
How do they have that?
Yeah, first they have to come up, even if it's only for a few minutes, up out of the pain, out of the addiction, just to view it, to open
and how
their
do you
eyes
help
for a few moments.
And how do you help people do that? Is there anything that...
Meditation is a very powerful tool as long as they can stay focused long enough.
So you help people drop into something so they start to... So in a sense you're saying dropping into an awareness of feeling whatever they're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We need to move closer to our feeling body, not farther away from it. Usually all of the addictions are hiding the pain that the person feels inside. They don't want to feel the pain. But in order to heal it, we have to move toward it, not away from it.
So that is the hardest part, because they've spent their whole lives moving from it, and you're saying you have to move towards it. Move towards the thing that you think will annihilate you. I mean, in a sense, right?
Right. So we walk into the unknown. Into areas that we really haven't explored. We've constantly escaped it since maybe the time of childhood.
Right. So, I mean, you did that in your life. I mean, from what I know of you, it seems like how were you able to turn towards the thing that was most frightening and face it? I mean, what did you do in your own experience that helped you do that?
Like many, I first chose addictions to hide the pain. But then I realized I understood, because I was always much deeper connected. Perhaps that's been my savior. But I understood that I could not continue because that would be self-destructive. So first the person has to say, this is not what I want. And I think that this is priority. I chose life. And once I chose life, then I had to look at what was taking life from me. So then I realized it was my childhood and the things that brought me the greatest suffering and pain. So then I had to look at that and say, what did I learn through that? Not what pain did I suffer, because the person knows that. But what did I actually learn from it? Like, how did it empower me? And because there's always something there. There's treasures within it if we can just find it.
Right. So someone who's been really sad or angry, I have this friend who's really, really angry and is suffering from that. I mean, he has to sort of say, what did I learn from this reactive expression?
Mm-hmm.
How did it serve them in a way, but also was a disservice as well? But you look for the part where you can acknowledge in a conscious way, you're saying.
Yes, you need to bring your consciousness into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very, very important to feel the experience, to not just have it a mind experience, but to allow the cells to go into the pain and suffering. It's not to keep it on the surface, but it's only to touch it and say, this is what I experience, and do I want to continue to? Or do I choose instead to bring peace to it?
But I think that's a really important point that you said, which is not to be in denial, but allow, without indulging, but allow the feeling to be felt in, on the cellular level, just allowing it to feel, you know? I mean, so many people want to deny it or say that they're beyond it, but if you just allow it, then something is acknowledged there.
Yes, to really confirm that what happened, happened. And
right.
It may be horrific. It's not to say that it wasn't, but it's only to say what was, was. And it may be good, it may be bad. It may have paralyzed you in fear, in anger, in suffering. It was what it was. And who are you now?
Right.
What have you become? What have you birthed out of the experience? And if you use it as a foundation instead of a crutch, then you can stand upon it to birth yourself anew.
Right. Okay, that's a good foundation. So let's switch gears just a little bit and let's talk about, because I think that's a really nice overview of the emotional body and what we're here to do. But on another level, let's talk about the new birth that is happening planetarily, what we're moving into as a collective race. And,
with pleasure.
You know, we were just at this gathering today here in New York where many people came together, all with the idea of becoming more conscious in a community way and coming together to build something new. So from your perspective, I'm just curious to know what you see as we move into a new time, and is it truly a new time, and what do you see coming, and what does it look like, and where are we going?
The conscious evolution of the species is phenomenal, and I really say that wholeheartedly. 30 years ago, you wouldn't hear this kind of talk on the radio, in the news, in magazines. We are opening up in so many different levels. We are truly evolving consciously as a species.
So what does that actually mean and look like?
That means that people are choosing differently than their parents did, than their great-grandparents did, than they have in other lives. They are choosing to birth themselves in a whole new way, even though it may be scary, even though they may not know what they're stepping into, they're stepping forward.
So give some specifics, because I think the more specific you are, the more it becomes tangible. So how and what specifics would people be birthing themselves anew?
I see people finally moving toward acknowledgement that the cells of their body are part of their journey. They beginning to honor the cells themselves and their cells. And in that alignment, they are creating a new platform and a new species in a way.
Uh-huh.
We've either searched for spirit or uh-huh. we've been totally physical, denying spirit.
Right.
But never before have we tried to bring the two together, bringing consciousness into the cells so the cells themselves can begin to spin at higher frequencies and begin to unlock the DNA codes that have been forever closed or seemingly forever closed off to us.
So what's one way people can actually, because I totally agree with you, it's time for us to embrace our physical bodies as actually manifestations of our spirit. I mean, they actually are spirit, frozen spirit, or however you want to say it, but it's something about the body that totally needs to be acknowledged as not just a vehicle, because that is such an old world view. You know, I think that view doesn't work. I think that view, I mean, not to put anything down, but in India they have that view, it's just a vehicle and why not, it doesn't matter, you can pollute the world and throw garbage on the ground and do all that. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's like there is that view that that it's just a vehicle for spirit. And I think what you're saying is something different, right?
Yes, I am. What I'm saying is that let me put it this way. The
yes.
spirit is spirit. It is already evolved. It doesn't need to come here to evolve. Let's face it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What part of you wishes to evolve? What part in all humans wish to evolve? It's the cellular structure. The cells, we know scientifically, are only functioning on one-third of the DNA. But
uh-huh.
That means there's two-thirds that we haven't unlocked yet. For that DNA to unlock, for us to begin to become more, that's the best way I can verbalize it,
uh-huh.
what is necessary is an integration with all that we are into an alignment with the cells of the body.
So
the union then will bring us into higher frequencies.
So what do you suggest? How do you see that?
I'm saying the cells are the way.
But how? What can we do? Is there a meditation? Is there a focus? What do we need to do to bring that awareness to the cell? Or just the awareness itself, you're saying? Or
mm-hmm.
what is it?
Just like if a person can say, okay, my cells are important.
Uh-huh.
Can I begin to feel them? Now, when we've been in denial all our lives, the first thing we're probably going to feel is pain. All the times
right.
we have eaten incorrectly, all the times we have abused ourselves physically, we'll come
or judged
play.
Ourselves, judged our bodies.
Yes,
I
all
mean,
of these things.
Yeah.
Yes, because realize that the cells of the body are representing all of your thoughts. So they
uh-huh.
only are what you're thinking. They are
right.
as great as you think they are or as lowly as you think they are, because their job is to satisfy you and give you everything that you need to manifest your calling.
Right.
So the cells make all of the chemicals. The neuropeptides are made by the brain. All the cells in the body make the neuropeptides in response. Exactly the same chemicals are created everywhere. And now these chemical messengers are creating the body in your image, the mind's image.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing to do, then, would be to find the beauty in yourself.
So you look in the mirror for the beauty in yourself.
Mm. You know, some people have problems doing that. So what I suggest is to close the eyes and to think of the cells maybe as like little M&M candies, little arms, little legs, pretty little colors, all the different
uh-huh.
colors of the rainbow.
Uh-huh.
And realize that these cells are, in a sense, holographic little yous. But they're
uh-huh.
all in response to you and there to create for you your desires. And it's almost like the genie in the bottle. They're the genies.
Uh-huh. So these they're like little mini, there's like billions of little miniatures of us.
Yes.
That make up the big us.
Yes.
It's like a hologram.
All to fulfill the big us. But
yes.
instead of allowing them to fulfill, we
uh-huh.
put them down. We say, we're not worthy, we're not good enough, we're not pretty
mm-hmm.
enough, or tall enough, or short enough, or whatever.
Right. So the way to overcome that is to just, I don't know,
begin
what.
To maybe think of them as your children that you are in guardianship with.
Like the body.
To take care of them, to nourish them.
I've often thought this body was like a child you have to nourish and take care of and honor. And because it is here to serve us, totally.
Now, but are the ones that need to begin to create the right chemicals to unlock the DNA codes for this conscious transformation to occur, then it means that the cells must be the first to be acknowledged and honored. And
right.
You know, a cell would never hurt another cell because it knows pain.
But then what happens in disease then? Illness.
This is us denying ourselves.
Uh-huh.
We are in attack of self.
Mm-hmm.
Myself as a child, I was an abused child, so I attacked myself. I said, well, it was because I was a girl, a female, so I attacked my female.
Uh-huh.
And that's
what
we do. We attack the parts of ourselves that we believe are responsible for our pain.
And so the body's a complete projection of attitudes and thoughts.
Totally.
So then the healing...
Everything we think, yes.
They're totally at our service.
Completely.
I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing the magical vehicle that we inhabit, isn't it?
It's fascinating and extraordinary, and that's where the magic and the sacredness is.
Yes, it is the sacredness of the body that is spirit. You know.
When you think about it, if any person ever levitated or did any of these miraculous things on earth, great healings and so on and so forth, it was through their physical manifestation that these things occurred. So it was through the cells of the body. The cells need to hold this light. That means the cells need to be strong, healthy. They need to be able to transmit.
Right. The cells need to be able to transmit. So then, as we bring more spirit or acknowledgement of the spirit into the body, well, first of all, is the planet itself, you feel, then increasing its vibration in order for us to house within our physical earth body more spirit?
Yes. There's more and more light coming in all the time. This can be chaotic for some whose minds are in turbulence already, or it can be like being inside the Great Pyramid in the King's Chamber, where it's opening you up like a lotus flower, stretching your being toward the light.
Uh-huh.
We choose which.
Yes, we chose which way to go. But the Earth itself, people have said, is a conscious being. Would you agree?
It's Mother Earth.
It's a being. You consider it is. And does it talk to you?
Conscious.
Does it say things? What does it
not
say to you?
It's saying things like you speak and,
and
the vocabulary you do, but it comes like a spark, a light inside of me, in the core of my being that then explodes. And within it, all the stories are revealed like a movie, but the movie is all happening in the second, and everything is known within that moment.
Uh-huh. So what kind of messages, but what kind of things have you gotten from the Earth?
First of all, I've spent 3 days and 3 nights crying in compassion for all of Earth creatures. For all of the people, all of the suffering, all the bloodshed, all of the changes, even the leaves that are changing in the fall and dropping on the ground, I cried for. So first, I moved through compassion, which I think is a necessary tool to move into the heart.
Our disease
has been too long in the head.
But is that a human projection onto nature? Because it seems like the leaves know they're going to fall, and it's like they don't see it as. I don't think the leaves necessarily see it as the way we might project our emotions on those leaves. I mean,
you're right. It is a transformation and a more metamorphosis.
But there's no mourning on that part of the tree or the leaves, is there?
The tree knows. In its own wisdom, all the changes it's going through, but the leaf has died, and the leaf itself feels its own death.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But it will be reborn again.
not that leaf that's on the ground. Maybe in many different ways as the microorganisms dissolve it, as the earthworms use it, as it becomes bird and insect and fungus and all of those other creations. So its biology, in a sense, only shares then its life force with all other life forces, and it sees through the eyes of a bird or a worm.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, yes, it is eternal.
Right, because you're saying, in a sense, all things are conscious. All things are have that one consciousness that inhabits everything.
Yes.
So getting back to this idea of our bodies and then the earth, that the earth then is becoming greater in its vibration, how is that then affecting our physical bodies, and what can we do to be more in harmony with that increase?
Yes, our physical bodies are changing. You see it in the babies born today. Their skulls are larger. They seem to be built stronger to ground these increasing frequencies. But people who were born 30, 40, 50 years ago need to go through the metamorphosis of the structure changing. So have not really seen the species metamorphosize before, we now are seeing some evidence of these changes.
Mm-hmm.
One is where the skull is beginning to change its formation, becoming a little bit more rounder or square.
And softer on top.
Yes. The legs, especially the left one, around the ankle, becoming either an extra bone there, which joins to the ankle bone, or just a lot larger, stronger, because we ground more with the left than the right. Lower back, yes.
We ground to the earth energies more with our left because that's the way we receive energies into our body with the left side of us?
That's the way we bring in universal energy and ground it like a lightning rod.
Mm-hmm. So the left leg itself is actually developing in different ways?
Totally. As a matter of fact, it's been photographed that in some people the left leg is a lot larger. It almost looks like it's ballooned, but yet these people have undergone medical examination and there's nothing wrong with them. They're not retaining water. There's nothing wrong with the extra bone on the ankle or whatever, that it's all... They seems to be normal, so medical science just says it's okay, whatever it is, it seems to be fine to that person. Also, the lower back, especially in people that are thin, is strengthening, becoming thicker, the bone mass becoming thicker.
Really?
It's shown that the muscles around the spine are becoming a little bit more rounder, protecting the spine in a sense.
So would you say we're sort of actually transmuting into a new species?
Metamorphosize, I guess you could say. You may have even heard someone say to you, geez, you look so different. What's going on in your life? And it may be, if you look in the mirror, you might find, geez, I do look different. And it might be in a very good way. Because with these changes, there's something about it that's more beautiful, and it could be because it's just more light.
Wow, I haven't really heard that one. I mean, I've heard a lot, but I haven't heard that one. I mean, the fact that the lower back and the left leg. I mean, that
and the wrists,
fingers,
there's extra bone growth, so the bones are becoming thicker. In order to be able to transmit this energy through the hands, the fingers, you might feel like they're a bit arthritic as they go through their metamorphosis.
Really?
The shoulders, some people are growing, it almost seems like a bit of wings because the bone is on each side growing in a very odd place right next to the shoulder bone. All kinds of very interesting things. The rib cage. There's in a lot of people, it's almost like a hook that's developing in the diaphragm area, just where the rib cage ends.
A hook, you say?
In some people, it's like a hook. In others, it's like almost like a disc that's forming. It's actual formation. Some people might feel as though they're having a heart attack because as the thymus expands, which is part of the higher heart, or it's called the seat of the soul, as we're bringing in these higher frequencies, grounding them to earth, then the thymus, the hypothymus, is all expanding, and we may feel as though the chest is trying to burst out. And it could actually feel as though you're having a heart attack, and medically
and
people
not.
Have rushed
you're...
to the hospital, right? I mean, of course, if you think you are, you should always get a medical examination to make
but
sure.
But you're saying in many cases it's just an expansion of the heart chakra,
right?
Basically.
Especially people who are on the path and working with trying to become a better human in whatever way that means to them.
Well, it does seem like from what you're saying is that we are evolving into what J.J. Hertog calls homo luminous, the light human, the kind of like higher vibration human.
Yes, definitely.
And
it's a new species
that do you see then like people who don't want to make that change just not inhabiting the new Earth that we're moving into?
I think that this is part of the problem that we're seeing. Because these energies are much higher frequency, it may create depression in people because they don't understand what's going on in themselves and how they're feeling and their emotions. In most cases, what happens is this light that's coming in, it reveals to your screen, to your mind screen, all your pain and suffering. And it seems as though it's replaying itself too much, where it can drive a person almost to insanity. But what's really going on is the light is bringing this to your attention, so it's showing you what you need to heal to take the next step. Not what to become swamped in or engrossed within, but only what it is that is the next thing in your evolution.
Right. So if we go to the old reactive way, like we talked earlier in the show, as just kind of indulging the emotions, we don't get it. But if we go to the kind of observer consciousness, then we see that these things are coming up for us to look at, to own, to let go of, and to move on.
Yes, the most powerful tool is forgiveness.
Because forgiveness is, as a teacher I had said, forgetting. You let it go. You forgive.
Yes, it's not just that. Forgiveness, and I think that this is important that people realize, it's not saying whatever happened to you was right or
right.
that it was wrong. It's not a judgment. Forgiveness is just, it's just saying what was. And maybe you were not conscious at that time, and that's why you did or said what you did or said. It's allowing the person to be human, if you like, and knowing that all humans make giant mistakes. I don't know anyone who hasn't made humongous ones that they wish they never did. And
right.
to give the person that space, even though they may have repeated whatever brought you pain hundreds of times over, that was part of your evolution, part of your growth, and to forgive them for playing that role in your life, because if they didn't play it and it was something you needed to get, someone else would have played it.
Right, so you can forgive everyone in your life then and just move more into the present.
But you need to actually have heartfelt forgiveness. It's not just a mind thing. You need to actually feel it and release them from the debt you're holding over them.
Right.
Because as long as you don't forgive them, then they have power over you.
Right.
That means that you'll always say, well, I'm this way because of that. And that
right.
gives you permission to not heal it because you're saying it's their fault. The moment
right.
you say, I forgive them, it's not their fault. It's nobody's fault. It's part of the universal plan. It was part of what needed to occur for me to be who I need to be, and I'm just letting it go like that.
Uh-huh.
Then I now taking my power back to heal myself in the present moment.
Right. Thank you. That's a good one. Thank you. But so actually, we have a little more extended time tonight.
Great.
So, are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm awesome. Thank you.
Are you enjoying this? Because it's just coming through you, right? It's just kind
always
of
always does. Yes, I'm blessed. Thank you.
Okay. Well, then let's talk a little bit about your process. What is happening with? Who are you? What are you doing? No.
You don't have to ask me who I am, and still can't figure it out.
No. It's not that. But I think you've had an unusual experience in the sense where you've lots of people have connections to unseen beings, but somehow you were able to trust your experience of them and welcome them and therefore evolve your consciousness to a new place because you only had these inner teachers. I mean, that's how I understood it. What was going on for you?
It could be because my physical life was full of pain and suffering, and since I could not reach out to physical beings for comfort, I reached in another direction. And I sometimes wonder when I meet people who come to me to help them through their healing process, I wonder if maybe the same thing has happened to them, that they needed to learn how to go within, to trust the source, to trust all that is, instead of reaching external to the people in their lives.
But do you think because you had all that suffering, and this is, I mean, you know, this is just not a skeptical question, but you think you could have made up those inner beings or fragments of your own mind because you needed to create them as a harbor, a safe harbor inside yourself?
It's a good question. The thing is, I've never been outside of them as far as my memory takes me, which, by the way, I remember being born.
You do? Did you
remember being born? My life, I remember my life in between my last life and this one.
Wait, did at one point come back to you, or did you always remember it?
I've always known, just like you knew what yesterday was for you. It's always been as clear to me.
So you always knew when you were born that you never were unconscious, you're saying?
I guess that's a good way of saying it, yes.
Do you remember yourself in the womb as well, or did you come in after?
I remember before birth very, very clearly.
What was that like?
Okay. I was a head that moved through non-time and non-space, if you like, quite rapidly. And I had this long, long, I don't want to say tail, but almost like how when an airplane moves, it has this jet stream. So as I moved, I had this very colorful, colors we don't even have on Earth, in this stream behind me. And as I moved, it was waving this way and that, and I was a head very similar to my face and head now, except that it was all colors and constantly streaming. And the interesting thing is, though, when I didn't move, when I stopped, my tail caught up with me, and I became a round ball.
Uh-huh. So you were like an energy essence, in a sense.
Totally, yes.
And did you have, like, the same feelings or sensation and perception?
I was me. There's no difference between that energy and who I am today.
But what's the difference about inhabiting a body that is different than being an energy being?
The body is slower. It's denser. There's a time response. It's mechanical, so you need to learn how to move it and use it. So these things can frustrate spirit.
So do you feel sensation in the body that you don't feel as spirit, though, right?
Yes, but if you link the two.
But do you feel sensation as spirit? Do you feel any? Because there's no thing to feel sensation except
the life,
I guess, and
force power is so strong. There's such a vivid state of aliveness that surpasses what we have experienced in physical form today.
Really?
Oh, yes.
So it's like, but is there a sensation? I mean, is there an exhilaration, ecstatic?
Oh, yes. And you know you're alive, and
you
every part of you is in joy. There's no separation.
So then, when you
that joy in you,
and then you came in. So how? Why did you choose to end up suffering the way you did, even though you remembered that you were this energy, you know?
Because the physical world is full of sparkling lights and money and illusion, and we get lost so easily, so easily. Like a moth, when it's in the city, it gets lost. It goes into the lights. It gets burnt on the lights because it's dazzled by them. People are the same. We get dazzled by all of these lights and electromagnetic fields, and we get lost in it all. So I believe we set ourselves up before birth to for certain roles to be played by different people, that if you haven't got it by such an age, then this person will bring you this gift. You might think of it as pain and suffering, but it may be a way for you to get to the next level, because each person comes in like a particular geometrical formation, like as intricate as a snowflake, and we fit. The snowflake fits in the pattern of all that is, and we need to represent that pattern in its fullness. So we blossom into it. For that blossoming to occur, certain situations may need to be set up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the flesh does have its limitations. And this world, which is full of illusion, as you know, tells us one thing when it's really experiencing another.
So even though you never forgot who you were and where you came from, you still got lost in the shuffle and the phenomenon.
Well, yeah, for sure. And, you know, even though I was very, very gifted as a child, and people came to me as a child to help them to see what they couldn't see. Maybe it's the best way for me to word it. In my own particular circumstances, in my own life, I was powerless.
Now, why is that? Because you had to learn the lessons for yourself.
Yes, the child mentality, believing that we're a victim, believing that adults are smarter, believing, you know. Children today, I think, are breaking free from this. We are now entering a time and age of timelessness where everything is brought into the living room. So the child can learn very easily what is right and what is wrong, what a parent or guardian should do or shouldn't do.
So we are being brought into a timelessness that's an acceleration of time as we've known it.
Completely. And that's why many people feel that they're rushing so much every which way, but it's only because they're trying to keep up with this timelessness that's coming in.
But don't you think that's why you're here? Because you remembered the timelessness of it, and you're reminding other people of that at this time particularly, right?
If I can do anything, then I would love to do that. Yes, I would love to remind people.
Well, you are reminding people.
you
reminded me. But let's just go back then. So before you were this energy, you were another life. You had another life. And where was that?
Maybe someday we'll talk about it, but I don't know if now is appropriate.
Oh.
Do know, though, I have always been a teacher.
You do know. It wasn't appropriate because it's like,
because the subject now goes into so many different areas, because number one, I wasn't female in my last life, so now we're bridging all kinds of beliefs.
But that's okay. No, I don't think the spirit is male or female, you know?
Okay.
So, I mean, I know, I've heard those kinds. I mean, they're not new to me, so, I mean, I don't know, if you don't feel like you want to talk about that, but I'm open to listening. But we could talk about other things as far as, well, just like if you trace your lifetimes back even before that one and that one and that one, where does it all go? Where's the end of that thread connect to?
To the beginning of the universe.
And what is that? Who are you at that moment? Where are we all?
Spark
and what is
being. It consciousness
that?
In its purest state.
Okay.
Consciousness trying to create.
It creates itself.
Yes, because in the trying, it's the unknown. It's always about stepping into the unknown. So it's the great experiment.
So the consciousness itself was new and embraced the unknown, and it created more creation.
Yes, it created creations out of itself.
So, in a sense, we're still doing that, I think.
Totally.
We're still embracing the unknown so we can create more of creation.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing about it is the closer you get to the unknown, you actually are not getting closer, because the unknown is being added onto through all of the minds everywhere, in all planets, in all solar systems, in all dimensions. The unknown is being constantly added onto through each person, each individual, each creature's discovery of self. So as we climb higher, it's not a good vocabulary, but as we move into greater frequencies of knowingness, then consciousness is also expanding. So there's no end to our expansion. We'll never get there. There is no there.
There's no there there.
Forever creation, forever evolving. So I always find it discerning when people say, well, when am I going to get there? When do I have to stop meditating? Honey, you never stop meditating. It's a life forever, all lifetime missions to become more, to become greater, to ride the crest of all that is.
Yeah, but it is sort of like you graduate from one grade and you don't have to repeat those lessons again.
I agree. But all I'm saying is the stretch never stops.
Right. So, I mean, do you feel like you then are here to help other people then reach more of that unknown, or are you here for yourself to evolve more? I mean, or both? I mean,
both, because as I evolve, others evolve. As others evolve, I evolve. We all evolve together.
But wait, say that part again, where you said like the when as soon as we go get more into the unknown. Wait, what did you say? Because I want to follow that thought.
Okay, as we stretch to know more and become more, we step into the unknown more and more, raising our frequencies and bridging the gap between what we knew 10 years ago to what we know today. And the further we stretch ourselves into the unknown, the further the unknown stretches itself, because it's not just gathering information from a little creature called Alan or Doreen or whoever, but it is in expansion from all of creation, in all dimensions, all time, all space, backward and forward in time, because there is no time. So the unknown is constantly expanding beyond what our little human minds can comprehend. So the stretch is forever. It's like a plant that rises itself out of the ground, that reaches up for the sun. It doesn't think, when will I ever stop stretching? It just stretches.
Well, it's like moving towards the horizon. The horizon always moves as we
Perfect.
Move towards it.
Yes.
But we're still moving.
Yeah.
You know, we're still moving towards something that is forever
yes.
unreachable.
And that's the important part. As long as one keeps moving and just, some people get the attitude, well, I'm just going to stop because I'll never get there. But you know, if there is no there, it's your personal evolution. That evolution becomes the foundation that you step upon. We evolve some more. It becomes another foundation we step upon. And the growth accelerates, and who we are accelerates until we finally move into joy, peace, salvation, sanctuary.
But that's a there. I mean, I could say that's a place where, you know, once you reach peace and joy and sanctuary and enlightenment, don't you think you're there? Don't you think your struggle is over and you can sort of just coast in a sense? I mean, you're in the flow of all that is?
That's the thing. We're always in the flow whether we believe we are or not.
But there are people who, though, have consciously reached that level of movement that where they're living in joy each moment, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. And that joy can become greater. The peace deeper, the message much more profound if they continue to stretch.
So do we ever resolve it all? Do you see it at some point it all being resolved back into the source that created us? Or is it an ongoing expansion into it forever? Or is it both or neither? I mean, where is it all
returning
ultimate?
To the void is a possibility if one so desires. But otherwise, you are on a perpetual journey of expansion and growth.
But where are we going?
It's not where we're going that's important. It's the journey.
Okay, it's a great journey, but I mean the purpose
if
of
if you
the...
think of where you're going, then that means there's a destination. That means there's an end.
And
but
there is no end.
There is no end.
There is no end as you see it. I mean, not that there's an end, but...
The thing is, because every little particle of existence, opens up into so many dimensions, I can't even count them. And the possibilities are unlimited. So each person has how many particles, billions of them, to explore within their own range. And which possibilities they undertake is beyond anyone's knowledge.
Uh-huh.
So what direction will all of this go? Nobody really knows for sure because we've never gone there before.
Right, we're creating it as we go there. But what?
Correct.
And has there been a purpose then for it all?
Yes, for sure.
And
a great experiment.
And what did we learn in this great experiment? What was it all for, the great experiment?
Well, the lessons haven't been learned yet.
Well, some of them have, because we've been doing it for millions of years, right? I mean,
billions.
No, I think some of the lessons have been learned, really. They have. I mean,
perhaps, but the greatest lessons are yet to come. And they're not about pain and suffering. They're not about poverty or denial.
No. I totally agree with you. The greatest lessons I feel and for me, they've been the greatest, having the thought and embracing the thought and manifesting it and owning it and feeling a sort of satisfaction with one's intention. Is that close to what you meant? I mean, that's what I feel. I mean, it's a sort of an embrace of our creation, basically, is what I feel are some of the great thoughts that are still
But what does that mean?
It means that we can acknowledge ourselves for having been a part of the creation.
And
added to it. And so what?
And still are part of that creation. Yes.
And still are, yeah.
Never outside of it, always within it, forever transforming through it and because of it.
So then let's look at like a little bit into the future. What do you see, okay, as our bodies start to change, as the earth starts to increase, how does the world look in 5 years or 10 years or 50 years, 100 years? What do you see if you look into the future? Because you are a visionary. You can see that. So what are you seeing?
Divine peace.
And what does that look like?
An earth where we move back into guardianship, where we make this, once again, the Garden of Eden. Originally, we came to play, to take care of the animals and the creatures, to prune the trees and harvest the fruit. We came to be at peace with one another and play in the garden, run with the wild horses, not to enslave them. So to return to that garden state, return to becoming the guardian.
Right. Well, no, that's good. No, I'm with you. So, I mean, I just want to tell people if they're tuning in now, I'm talking to Doreen Bray, who's from Montreal. And do you have a way people can contact you? Because you give readings, you give courses. How can people reach you?
Well, they can definitely click into the website, www.iehinstitute.com.
IEH stands
Institute.
For?
Institute of Energetic Healing, IEH, Institute.com.
And
they can find out all kinds of information about myself and how to get in contact with me.
Okay, and just tell people, what do? You do private readings and you do...
I have a school in Montreal where I assist people to first begin their own healing journey and eventually, once they have done so, to begin to help others reach their fullest potential and help them to heal. So they do become certified therapists. I give sweat lodge ceremonies, I work with the medicine wheel, I do meditations, usually fairly large group meditations, lectures, ceremonies, I'm there. I do healings one-on-one, or maybe healing is not a good word. Personal consultations maybe would be a better way of verbalizing it. I work with sound and vibrational therapies, Chinese medicine, acupressure. So many different ways, depending on who the individual is and what their needs are.
What's the purpose of the sweat lodge? Because I've done them, and they're amazing, but what's the purpose?
Mm-hmm. The sweat lodge, for people who don't know, looks almost like an igloo, but it's made with special trees. They're water trees, usually of the willow family, that hold a high amount of water content because, as you probably already know, water is electromagnetic transference of earth energy. And these fresh trees are cut in ceremony and in prayer and in offering. They are bent into the shape of like an igloo. There's a tarp, usually breathable material put over it, and then there's a deep pit put in the center. So when you go inside, it's pitch black. And outside the sweat lodge, there's usually a roaring bonfire where they take large rocks that represent the earth, the sun, the moon, and all of the elements. And those rocks are then heated in the fire, and those red-hot rocks are then moved into the center of this igloo-shaped building. You go into the darkness. It is created like the womb of Mother Earth, where you go in to recreate yourself anew. So it's like a new birthing process. So as you know already, there's usually a mixture of cedar, pine, and evergreen, so that when water is poured on the rock, the steam is released into these medicinals. So it is a therapeutic for the body. So it's cleansing of the pores and of the liver and of all of the toxins that the physical body holds. And then normally somebody is in ceremony, the leader of the lodge is in ceremony, maybe drumming, chanting, and bringing you into meditation, into self, moving past the fear and into healing on all levels of your being. So it's mind, body, and soul.
It's very intense. I don't usually sweat, but in the sweat lodges, it just drips off of you. I mean,
yes,
it
does. A bandana is a good choice.
It's just so intense, the heat, because you're pouring the water on those really hot rocks. It's steaming. I mean, sometimes you just get close to the ground so you can breathe, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times, traditionally, depending who you're following, some sweat lodges have men and women separately. And I've noticed that when this is the case, the men's lodges are always a lot hotter than the women's. Because
it's a macho
thing, men
right?
Like to beat their chests and do the man thing, like who can stand it more hotter than who else, whereas the women will have a tendency to have it hot, but not so much so where you're almost fainting.
So
I do mixed sweats. I do them, you know, both male and female.
I see. And you do them like every month up there in Canada?
Minimum of once a month, but I also give retreat workshops. So in those workshops, I do, myself personally, I give about 2 to 3 a week.
And how many people attend, like, a sweat lodge?
For the public sweat lodges, we'll get 30, 40 people.
Oh, really? In one lodge?
Yep. For the retreats, I never take more than 8 people.
That's a huge sweat lodge for 40 people?
Yeah, it's a big sweat lodge, yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
Yes, it is. Much larger than the traditional one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like it could get that hot for 40 people. I mean, I guess it does.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Believe me, it does. Yeah.
Wow, that's a huge... So I've never been in a 40-person sweat lodge. I think I feel a little claustrophobic, actually.
Well, yeah, that's why I try to keep the amounts down. If possible, I ask people to please sign up before. It's not always possible. People do show up, surprise, here I am. Can you accommodate me? If they're there at the beginning of the ceremony and it's not overcrowded, and the energies are very important too. You know, if some people's energies are just not in resonance with what's going on, then of course it may not manifest for them at that time.
Right.
They may be asked to stay outside the lodge and be in prayer and just to begin to feel what it's like, because maybe they might be in too much fear to go in the first time. And that's something to consider, because are going into the pitch dark, and, you know, for some people who might be claustrophobic, it may be better to slowly acclimatize oneself.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little claustrophobic at first, I mean, because I think my past life I was in a concentration camp and suffocated. And you know,
yeah, you were. Sorry.
You remember that? You see that?
Yeah.
Oh, so I was right. How do you see stuff like that?
It's just within the cells.
You see it. But you actually see a picture?
It's a knowingness. It's not like something that the mind creates picture form-wise or what we're used to. It's a feeling, energy, vibration, smell, taste, and all knowingness. And that brings forth like a picture. Picture-like.
You get a knowingness of that person.
Mm-hmm.
You mean, so you saw this before I said it, right?
Oh, yes.
But you weren't going to tell me?
Well, what I like to... I used to do that when I was, so you know, from 3 to about 18, 19.
Uh-huh.
Well, after that, I found that it was much better to lead the person to discover these things for themselves, because then it's a cellular, yes, that's what I was, instead
uh-huh.
of somebody saying, oh, well, so-and-so told me that I was da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and believing
right.
that, and it's a mind thing then. It's not a personal experience. So it's
right.
much better to have it as a personal experience, and then confirm it with someone, for sure.
Well, speaking of personal experiences, maybe you can lead us right now through a sort of meditation, so people can actually have an experience for themselves, because it's great talking to you, and we can talk for hours, but I think as you kind of go into that meditation experience, people will then start to be activated in their own consciousness of where you can lead them and what you can do with them. So do you feel like doing that for the next
sure.
like 10 minutes?
No problem.
Okay, so go ahead. Do you want me to play any music or anything? Or?
No, that's quite all right.
Because
we were speaking about healing and cleansing, I will take you into a form of meditation that will begin that process.
Great. Okay, I'm ready to go.
Okay. So if everyone would just take a few deep breaths and just relax yourself with your breath. Let your breath, let everything go. Breathe it away. Making long, slow, deep breaths. And try to breathe all the way down to the base of your spine, filling your abdomen completely, letting everything go, just watching your breath, nothing else. Relaxing all the muscles in your shoulders, relaxing the muscles in the neck, in the face. Relaxing the muscles in the spine, in the hips. Letting go of the tension in the bowels, in the solar plex area. And just breathing. And try to make each breath a little bit longer, a little bit deeper than the breath before. Slowing down your breathing. And just for a moment, tell yourself, I'm feeling more and more peaceful with each breath. I'm feeling more and more peaceful with each breath. I can feel waves of peace moving through me. Peace is everywhere within me. And I'm letting go into peace. And now bring your attention to the base of your spine. And imagine for a moment you have a magnet there. And that magnet is pulling the base of your spine to the core of the earth. It's electromagnetically attracted to the core. And allow your spine to straighten to that energy, so the energy from the core of the earth can go up your spine and hold you. And feel yourself anchoring there. imagining you have a magnet at the base of the spine, electromagnetically pulling the base of your spine to the core of the earth. And feel your hips becoming solid, anchored, strong. They may even feel a little heavy as you're letting go at a deeper and deeper level. And start to imagine this electromagnetic attraction between the core of the earth and the base of your spine, and let go into it. Relax all the muscles of your body and allow that pull to pull out all the tension. Let go into it. Releasing all the tension in the legs, and the feet, and the toes, and allowing this electromagnetic pull to cleanse, to heal all the circulation of the legs, and the feet, and the toes, removing the static, the junk that we collect in our daily lives. And just allow it. And now imagine that your spine is a magnet, and to it, all the junk from your body, from your organs, from your mind, all the static of your life is being attracted to the spine, and then to the base of the spine, and then out through this electromagnetic pull to the core of the earth. So now you're cleansing by allowing all the junk, all the static to go to the spine, to the base of the spine, and out to the core of the earth. And you're letting go into that. Still breathing deeply. And allow all the stuff of your life to drain, to move into the spine, into the base of the spine, and out. Release all the tension in the organs and let stuff go. Releasing all the tension in the bowels, in the kidneys, letting it all go. Releasing the tension in the stomach, solar plex area, liver, kidneys, spleen, the pancreas. Letting all the tension go. Letting it all go to the spine, electromagnetically attracted there, to the base of the spine, and out. And everything wants to move to the core. It's all being pulled, electromagnetically pulled. All you have to do is let go. And allow your heart now to empty. All the pain and suffering, let it move to the spine, to the base of the spine, and out. All the wounds, all the sabotage, all the things that occur that were not right, that were painful, let it go. Allow it to move to the spine, to the base of the spine, and out. And feel your heart empty, letting all of the negative patterns, negative feelings, negative emotions go. Breathe deep into the chest area. Let all the tension of your life, of all lives, go. and you may get flashes of things. If anything remains in your mind's eye, any story, feel forgiveness for it and allow it to be attracted to the spine, to the base of the spine, to the core of the earth. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And the throat, all the things you were forced to swallow, all the things you couldn't choke back, let them go now. All the things you wanted to say but couldn't, all the things you did say that came out wrong, let them go. Releasing them all to the spine, all of them being electromagnetically there, going down to the base of the spine, pulled to the core of the earth. Release it all. Relaxing the neck and the throat area, the chest area, releasing everything, letting it all go. And jaw, all the tensions in the jaw, releasing everything kept there, all the secrets, all the words not said, not expressed, all the things said in anger and fear. Let all the static, all the emotions, all those trapped energies move to the base of the spine and out. Everything being attracted to the spine, to the base of the spine, and out to the core of the earth. And allow the tension to melt out of the jaw, releasing the tension in the ear, in the eyes, in the tongue, letting all the things heard, all the things saw, all the things that were not right in this lifetime, in any lifetime, go. It's all static in the field, stuck energies. Allow it now to move electromagnetically pulled to the spine, to the base of the spine, to the core of the earth. Let it go. In the brain, all the static, all the thoughts that whirl and spin, let it go. Releasing, like melting away, all of the stories of this lifetime, any lifetime, draining the brain of all the junk, allowing it to be released to the spine, to the base of the spine, and out, being attracted to the core of the earth. Let it all go. And you may feel all tension melting as you release at a deeper and deeper level. Releasing at a deeper and deeper level. Keep your breath slow and deep. It will assist you. Breathing it all away, letting it all go, rest, letting all tension release. And you may sense layer upon layer of shadows, of gray things going to the spine, all static being released at the base of the spine to the core of the earth. Letting it all go. Let all tension everywhere go. Breathing it all away.
Thank you, Dory.
Within self, move into the peace.
Yes.
allow peace to rise.
Doreen?
Breathe the word peace in. Yes.
We're reaching the end of the show.
Yes.
Do you take us out of it, or do we just stay in the peace?
Please, stay in the peace. And if you're so inclined, just ask for a moment that deep, powerful, and profound healing energy move into all the areas of your body where there was once static, tension, darkness in any way, asking for deep, powerful, and profound healing energy to move into every cell, all the way down to the DNA. Acknowledging and being part of the witness.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Doreen.
I thank you, Alan.
If people want to reach you, just tell them again how to find you.
Yes. www.iehinstitute.com.
Right. Good. Thank you. I mean, we'll have more of these conversations over the next couple of months, okay?
Wonderful, Alan. Thank you so much.
This is Alan Steinfeld, and you've been listening to New Realities on bbsradio.com, and I'm on every Sunday night at 9:30 East Coast time, 6:30 West Coast time. You can also reach me through the email at newrealities@earthlink.net. My name is Alan Steinfeld. Also, check out my website, newrealities.tv, for past interviews. And I welcome any comments, suggestions, ideas. Please let me know what you've been thinking of the last couple of shows. And I hope to see you next week or hear from you. And I'm going to end with this song called The Song of the Soul by Chris Williamson. Do you know that song, Doreen?
I'm going to know it now.
Okay,
here it goes.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Alan Steinfeld with Doreen Bray, and here's the Song of the Soul.
I am not
looking up for new realities, and I'll look forward to hearing and talking to you next week. Thank you.